A new book from a Southern Connecticut State University professor explores the history of mental asylums and psychiatric hospitals in American culture. WSHU's Davis Sullivan spoke with history professor Troy Rondinone about why they have a hold on the American imagination.
Give you a briefing about the institution before you left.
All I know is it's a mental hospital.
For the criminally insane.
Well, if it's just folks running around hearing voices and chasing after butterflies, they wouldn't need us.
Rondinone says mental asylums are often the subject of horror movies like Shutter Island or Session 9.
The asylums are actually a product of a reform movement in the United States. The word asylum means place of refuge, and they were considered to be very progressive and a vast improvement over how the insane were treated before then.
Did people think when they were sending family members off to these asylums that they were sending them off to something akin to a comfortable resting period in the woods?
Absolutely. They were designed to look like large homes with beautiful grassy areas. The cures that the doctors were advocating were things like walking in the park, fishing, just taking it easy, getting air.
Rondinone says by the Civil War, every state had a tax-funded asylum. Connecticut had a few, including Fairfield Hills in Newtown and the Norwich State Hospital for the Insane. By the turn of the 20th century, books and magazines were filled with accounts that showed these asylums were far from paradise.
They were becoming too crowded. They were heavily occupied by recent immigrants, especially in urban areas, by the progressive years. And so this is when we begin to see some of the more drastic treatments, ways of kind of shocking patients back into reality. It gets pretty scary there for a while.
Is this the same time as lobotomies and electroshock therapy, or is that coming a little bit later?
Lobotomies were designed, again, with crowded hospitals in mind, how to get patients out of these crowded, often very filthy institutions, state-funded institutions. And so the idea was it would cure schizophrenics and get them back to their family. So it was designed to be very optimistic.
The 1948 film The Snake Pit depicts an institutionalized woman who recovers with help from a psychiatrist and treatments that were seen as progressive at the time.
Mr. Cunningham, I'd like to use shock treatment on your wife. In many cases, it helps to establish contact much faster. When that happens, we'll be able to start getting at the real causes of your wife's illness.
Isn't there any other way?
Yes, if we had time. There are many things we're short of in state hospitals, but time most of all.
Although the electroconvulsive therapy scene is pretty scary, in the movie it actually helps her. Snake Pit is a combination of a critique of the overworked, overcrowded mental hospital, with the Freudian hero, Dr. Kick, coming in and rescuing this woman.
Rondinone says that optimism started to run out by the 1970s as states began to cut budgets and institutions started to close.
And so there's a huge wave of criticism of psychiatry, mental hospital treatments.
It's the central subject of one of the most highly regarded films ever made, 1975's One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. A troublemaker enters a mental hospital and upsets the balance of power between doctors, nurses, and patients.
Randall Patrick McMurphy said you've been belligerent, talked when unauthorized, been resentful in attitude toward work in general, that you're lazy.
Chewing gum in class.
Well, the real reason that you've been sent over here is because they wanted you to be evaluated.
Yeah.
To determine whether or not you're mentally ill.
If that's what being crazy is, then I'm senseless, out of it, gone down the road, wacko.
With Cuckoo's Nest, you get the mental hospital as a metaphor for everything that's wrong with America. Stifling conformity, bureaucratic control, the rising women's movement. Nurse Ratched is an evil character.
McMurphy's fights against Ratched put him on the receiving end of some of the most extreme psychiatric treatments of the day.
So the end of the mental hospital was a product of Americans being very upset with their government, essentially. You know, mental hospitals were becoming very expensive for states to keep up. As patients lived longer and longer, the amount of care required became more and more. The money that went into it, higher and higher. And so the hospitals closed. patients found themselves on the street.
Your book uses Halloween as an example of how that kind of manifests itself in the American psyche. Halloween, the 1978 horror movie with Michael Myers in his white death mask, is kind of a manifestation of this fear, right?
When Halloween came out, this was the time when you can read in the newspapers a lot of reports of fear about the consequences of deinstitutionalization. Patients on the streets committing horrible acts of violence. This is the way that the media is playing this up. And so Halloween comes out, and here's a story of a deranged monster, as they phrase him in the movie, a monster, the boogeyman, who erupts from a failing asylum in a breakout and goes back into his community to wreak havoc, being chased by a psychiatrist, Dr. Loomis, whose idea of treatment is shooting Michael Myers because he is untreatable.
No reason, no conscience, no understanding, and even the most rudimentary sense of life or death, of good or evil, right or wrong.
Where do we get the trope in, say, in horror movies, for instance, the big, scary, water-dripping, light-swinging-around mental asylum?
Well, the dungeon in the asylum is an old trope, but you have to put everything into context, really the dripping dungeon asylums. You really begin to see those in the 1980s. And this is when what we call ruin porn tourists are going into the old hospitals, and what they see looks ghastly, and they begin to project that back into the history. They assume that they were always kind of ghastly, haunted places.
You can find a lot of these videos on YouTube of people sneaking into closed hospitals, like this one of Fairfield Hills in Newtown, Connecticut.
All right, welcome to Fairfield Hills, guys.
The video's makers use flashlights to explore decrepit hallways and find places where ceilings have collapsed.
This is the pharmacy.
You can tell not too many people came in here.
What is this?
Laundromat.
These are ready-made sets for the low-budget filmmaker that are very frightening to look at and require no added effects. Just walking through these institutions and at night is especially scary.
Troy Rondinone is a professor at Southern Connecticut State University, and he's the author of Nightmare Factories, The Asylum in American Imagination. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.